Yarb.
All right, go, God.
Welcome to Movie the Podcast. That's right, Movie the Podcast. It is Remade 2, The Revenge. That's right, remakes being remade again by the boys. Also, yeah, shout out
we're
to
back
the-
at full power. We're back.
DJ, all four of us here.
DJ got his revenge on all of us for something. I'm not sure what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Well, I mean, I watched it too, so it's not like.
Awesome.
I'll be perfectly honest. I was really hoping this would be one of those, like, oh, it wasn't as bad as I expected. No.
Somehow worse.
Sorry. Go ahead, guys.
Oh, no. I just want to say a quick shout out to the Boeing company who's never done anything wrong before any of us get murdered, by ourselves. Just real shout out. 747, 777, 787s. All sevens are great. This show is brought to you by Boeing, and we will never say anything bad about you.
We also aren't going to weigh in on the Kendrick Drake beef either.
So well, much
it's over.
It's a really one-sided battle. Like it's just been.
It's like I'm not going to weigh in on the Broncos versus the Niners Super Bowl at halftime.
Yeah.
Anyway, we watched the Platinum Dunes Nightmare on Elm Street remake. And
Johnny Sand
with Jackie Earle Haley as Freddy Krueger. I was going to say the titular Freddy Krueger, but the movie isn't called Freddy
Krueger. The titular Street.
it sucks. Spoiler alert. It's real fucking bad.
It's a shit. And it coming off of Caperl, which was one of our highest, like,
oh, Caperl rocked. I guess, Alec, did you get a chance to watch Jackie Brown last week?
I did not.
Sean, did you? Or I mean, yeah, I know I you're did. A big fan.
Yeah, I did.
You have any thoughts on it before we move?
For some reason it was killing me when you guys couldn't remember Jonathan Nolan's name. I don't know why that stuck out so bad.
Not to
do with the movie. I mean, you guys covered it. Like I think TJ said, and like I felt it watching the movie about kind of the resolution of it, and that the 90s felt like they were 800 years ago. I think was his quote.
Yeah.
And man, I feel old because like. Pam Grier's playing somebody who's 42, but she is 45. But the way they've got her done up, even though she is like a smoke show, they've got her done up like she's like 62. You know what I mean? Everybody, Robert Forster wasn't that old.
Yeah, they lean into how like she should be out to pasture. Like they try.
Oh, man, it's brutal. But yeah, it's a De Niro playing against type. I think it is my favorite Tarantino movie. Like, and I don't know if that's because it's adapted and I think TJ said it was a brisk 235, which I agree with. And I think that's kind of where he loses me a little bit as he gets older and his movies start to kind of air out a little bit too much.
Well, it's because his editor died.
Yeah, she died. What a selfish bitch. And yeah. I don't know. It was kind of like the last of his movies that looked old, like organically. Because, like, you know, Death Proof, which is a movie I like, I've come around on. And even like Inglourious Basterds, they kind of look old, but they still look. Purposefully, you know what I mean? Like, kind of like, I don't know. I don't know if it's just because it's, well, Death Proof's digital, but I don't know, man. It's a banger. Every performance is fantastic. Like, Robert Forster's so fucking good. And,
he's fantastic, yeah.
Oh, what is the song? It's a fucking
110th
Street.
People trying to beat the enemy.
Have you been on since we did the 18? Did you watch the 18?
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah,
okay.
I really like the A-Team. I've always been in the bag for that movie. I think the dialogue is fucking atrocious. And, like,
yeah,
I don't know if any of the performances are particularly good. And Patrick Wilson's just, like, is eating the whole set. But it's fun. Like, I'm a big, Joe Carnahan apologist. So I'm a big – I think Don was the only one that didn't like that movie to begin with.
Originally, and I came like around. Ending.
Yeah,
I came around. So.
Yeah, so,
if I turn my brain off, it's a lot of fun.
Jackie Brown is a blaxploitation and a noir. It was like right up my alley. It only needed to be like cyberpunk and be my favorite movie ever. But, I fucking love Jackie Brown. I think it's perfect.
Yeah, it's really fucking good. Caperl was a bunch of bangers for sure. I don't think that
there's three categories genres of movies that. We know are good. It's kickboxing, gay, and stealing.
Well, speaking of movies, what did you all watch this week? Or since we've been kind of back and forth, just over any period of time, like
I watched five things.
Oh, wow.
First off, Cinco. First off, and I didn't fact check this, so I don't know if it's true, but I want to say R.O.P. R.I.P. Bernard Hill, who played Theoden King in
Lord of the Rings,
who has like one of the best speeches. Even though I didn't really like his character per se, that speech before they attack Gondor is like one of the best speeches as far as I'm concerned, like in all of movies.
Doesn't he? That where he says tonight is the night we will draw swords together. That's him, right?
I can't remember if that's that one or that's in Helm's Deep. No, it's daytime they're fighting. They're basically flanking Sauron's army at Gondor. He just rides down the line of horsemen, smacking his sword on all their spears as he's like screaming about death and stuff. So R.I.P. Bernard Hill.
I just saw that like
two seconds. I literally don't even know anything else he's been in.
Apparently Game of Thrones, but I don't remember.
Oh, I don't remember him from that at all.
Yeah.
But then again, everybody was in Game of Thrones.
Right, yeah. If you were like British or Australian, you were probably Game of Thrones.
Yeah, Sean, you were one of the concubines. I remember.
You're one of the sand butthole. Snakes.
Not Moose Butthole.
Ooh, the sand snakes.
I was the girl that said you like the bad pussy. That was me. I did the line reading for that.
That chick was so hot. Dear Lord, that girl was attractive.
So I watched
as hot as bad as the line was.
Yeah, 100%.
I watched the new, I don't know what it is, the new Migration. It's the new animated movie. It's about ducks migrating.
I think Gogs watched. Did you watch that, Gogs? I thought you did.
It's fine.
I didn't see it.
Like, I used to be big on a lot of the animated movies, but for the most part, they're all just, like, fine now. I don't find any of them great. I don't find any of them bad. They're all inoffensive.
Isn't Danny DeVito in that one? Yeah.
Danny DeVito, Kumail Nanjiani.
Is Awkwafina in that one?
Yeah, she's in it. I think Elizabeth Banks is in it. I think it's good. It's not bad, but it's just those movies now are getting to be almost kind of like placeholders. Like I got nothing else to watch. Like, oh, I'll watch this. You know, it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
Rewatched an absolute banger. Malibu's Most Wanted.
Oh wow. I haven't seen that.
Thought about that movie in years.
The movie fucking slaps. It's so funny. It's not appropriate at all for our current climate, but it's so funny. Jamie Kennedy's, it's like the one movie he's like really good in, except for when he's the production assistant and Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back and Chris Rock just throw coffee at his face.
Forgot about that.
I watched this movie. It was only an hour and like 5 minutes long. I can't remember what it was. Something original. It was either Tubi original or Crackle. It was one of those two. It was an original.
Right.
It's an animated movie. It's called Pasta Apocalypse.
Pasta Apocalypse.
Pasta Apocalypse. And pasta turns into zombies and starts eating people. It's
I mean,
bad. It's really bad. But like, if I would have watched it like Stone, it probably would have been like my favorite movie ever. It was barely like an hour long. I think it was like an hour and 8 minutes or an hour and 10 minutes.
Right.
But it's real bad. It's this guy, the guy who directed it, like directs all kinds of animation stuff, but nothing you ever heard of. Like he probably has like a website that he directs animations for or something.
Right.
It's not very good. But I don't know what I expected from a Crackle original.
Hey man, we love Crackle here. We're pro, it's a pro Crackle show, so.
And the next two movies I watched are Roadhouse and Roadhouse.
Oh no. Also, cool. Here's my pick for remake.
I think that was Gogs' pick, yeah. So
We watched it before you guys recorded last week.
Yeah.
But I won't have to watch it again.
That's true.
I might watch it.
I guess you don't want to watch the thing. Oh, wait. Okay, you do.
Excuse me. It's fucking wild. Like, it's not good.
Oh.
But it's also not. It's also not like.
Oh, it's not good.
It's not bad in a bad way. Like, Jake Gyllenhaal is fully leaning into how stupid this movie is. Like, he gets it. He's like Ryan Gosling in some of the stuff he does. Like, you can tell he understands this is a stupid fucking movie for stupid people. Conor McGregor is the fucking worst. Oh my God. Like, I don't.
He's just like walking around like a gorilla the whole time, right? Like, he's just
pretty much, that. But he has a bunch of dialogue that he can't deliver at all. It sounds like cutscenes from a Konami game. It's so like, he's so bad, but yeah, he's like the heavy, and I get it. It's Conor McGregor. Like, he's an MMA, like maybe the best ever. But like, Jake Gyllenhaal is like twice as big as him. So right. Is like the big heavy, right. He's not like super intimidating unless you know he's Conor McGregor, and like, I would venture most people wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, and it also, like, the language of film, right? They should have gotten, like, a professional wrestler or something. You know what I mean? Somebody that's, like,
yeah, like, you bigger. Need somebody, or you need somebody first who's, like, the big, heavy, and he beats him, and then this guy comes in, and you're like, oh, he's the little guy, but then he totally...
You know what they should have done?
It should have been,
They should have cast Peter Dinklage instead of Jake Gyllenhaal.
And one of the robots from Real Steel.
Sassy boy or whatever.
Yeah.
Noisy boy. Did he say, did the line, I fucked bigger guys than you in prison come back in this version?
There's no way.
Oh, too bad.
There's no way.
Did not.
Which version did you like better? Cause can you agree that the end of the original Roadhouse is absolutely insane?
It is. Like, the end of both movies is fucking insane. I would say I liked the original better. It's like it's also not good. No, it's not good.
A ton of fun though.
But like, it's a classic for a reason. Like, it's a cult classic for a reason. Like, I don't think the second Roadhouse is gonna ever be like a cult classic.
And like, Patrick Swayze has a lot of charisma. I think that carries the movie a lot.
Yeah, he does. But I would definitely say watch the second one, and I guess you guys are going to have to.
Yeah, well, that is presumable.
I'm not veering from course, so yes.
Okay, all right.
It's something. It's something. you guys will have thoughts on it, but it's like.
I like that.
Yeah.
Does anyone get called Miho?
I don't think so. Not that I recall.
What have they done to this movie?
Basically, it's Jake Gyllenhaal smirking for 2.5 hours, just beating the shit out of people, which is fine.
I do like that Jake Gyllenhaal, though. He is
I heard he got, like, he looked pretty yoked for this role.
He is. Like, well, in the movie, he's like an MMA fighter. Like, well,
correct me if I'm wrong, but weren't we watching a UFC thing where he, like, showed up, and I guess that was for the movie? Like, they, like...
Yeah, because he does, like, a full intro... They did it like at an actual MMA.
I think we were at Gunn's house watching it. Like, I want to say, like, because we were like, why is Jake Gyllenhaal there? And like, it was a while ago, like a couple of years ago.
Well,
I could be
a lot of guys in prison say Jake Gyllenhaal all day, but I don't know. He seems pretty strong.
Pretty strong to me. Oh, Jesus.
That's all I watched. Goggles.
Oh my God.
I watched 1.5 things, one of which is tabled, the other half tabled. And I could actually use some help from the group if y'all wouldn't mind. I'm trying to find my kids ever since watching the Ninja Turtles movie, the newest one. They really want to watch like a Jackie Chan film.
Oh.
And I'm trying to find one that's like appropriate for them. Like, we tried watching the Tuxedo. We got through half of it, but that movie's not very good. And at I think
Rumble in the Bronx would be a good starting
point. I was going to say, Rumble in the Bronx is like,
yeah,
it's a lot of fighting, but there's nothing like crazy. Is there any, I don't remember anything like
sex and violence or like blood or anything. So. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, like, remember, I think, didn't we do it on the show? I think we did.
Yeah.
Like, there's like a subplot. There's a subplot where, like, his niece is, like, part of the gang, and they're like, oh, no, you're dressing sexy, but she literally just has, like, a skirt on. Like, I think, you know,
it's in Chinese, and how fast is it reading?
Not good. And this one opened with, like, Jackie Chan trying to, like, talk through himself. I don't know if you have all seen the tuxedo. I've seen half of it now.
I've seen it.
It opens with him, like warming himself up to, like, try and hit on some girl, like, they see through a plate glass window working at a, like, a gallery. And he's like, when I see you, you gave me a wet dream. And I'm like, well, that's an interesting first 5 minutes for me to try and deal with.
A lot of Jackie Chan movies are kind of horny, but they're, like, horny like a Looney Tunes.
Betty Hill kind of way. Yeah,
like, yeah, yeah.
Jackie Chan was, like, real protective of his image. I don't think he's in any, like, really, like, I don't know, The Foreigner is, like, the only movie I can think of that's, like, really serious and really violent. Like,
well, some of the police,
like,
story
super
stuff.
Police story, like, yeah, but it's more like just stunt violence. It's not like it's the killer or anything.
No, Foreigner.
Foreigner's dope. Oh, yeah,
that's a really good movie. No, but I think any of the stuff that they re-released in America should be fine. Like Rumble in the Bronx, Super Cop, I think would be cool. You know what I mean? Like, I think maybe
I'll try Rumble in the Bronx. But anyway,
Rumble in the Bronx is good because, like, it's, like, pretty light and it's full of action. Like, Super Cop's actually kind of dry, so I think they'd like it.
Yeah, the half of the tuxedo I saw was fine. One great. It was fine. He's fun in it because he's fun in most things.
I love Jackie Chan.
Jennifer Love Hewitt was terrible in it, but that's
Jackie funny. Chan's one of those people. Go ahead, Sean.
I was gonna say, make him watch one of those real dry Romance of the Three Kingdoms fucking dramas he did later on. They have a bunch of questions about Chinese history.
Like super pro Chinese movies, yeah. Jackie Chan's one of those people that I love to death, but I wish I didn't know more about him as a person in real life, because apparently he's, like, a huge piece of shit, and it really bums me out.
Oh, is he?
Oh, he's, like, apparently, he's terrible. Like, he has a bunch of kids that he doesn't take care of, and, like, he's, like, a misogynist, and it's like, oh, that's a real shame. Because I love Jackie Chan. Like, I think Jackie Chan's the best. But, like,
sounds like he should be a cornerback of the Jets. Anyway,
he took care of his
kids, my God.
To be fair.
In present year, you're thinking of Antonio Rodgers Cromartie, I think.
That's what it is. Anywho, the other thing we watched.
He just had a lot of kids. He took care of them.
Motherfucker out here making fucking Travis Henry jokes. Like, goddamn, it's 2024.
I was just going to say, like,
I'm working with whatever I can remember. That ain't much.
Tyreek Hill had three kids in the past, like, 12 months.
Right? Yeah, that's true.
Man, setting up franchises. Do you want to talk about... I will pass the mic to TJ and want to talk about the other thing that's tabled. Unless anyone else watched The Fall Guy.
Yeah, I watched two things. One thing that isn't tabled, so I'll start with the thing that's not tabled. I watched, I already forgot her name, but she is David Cronenberg's daughter, Brandon Cronenberg's sister. I believe it's Caitlin Cronenberg. Her debut feature film called Humane. And I was really looking forward to it because, much like her brother's films, not so much David's films, like, Brandon Cronenberg is a lot like Yorgos Lanthimos. So he makes what I like to call rule movies, where, like, there's some weird premise that, like, kind of propels the entire plot. So the idea in this movie, it's called Humane. And the idea of this movie is, at a certain point in the not too distant future, the population has ballooned to a point where you're basically in, like, a doomsday scenario where if we don't reduce the population, like, the Earth is just done, which is not too far from reality.
I've seen clips
like a Thanos.
I've seen clips from this on, like, TikTok. Is it gonna Jay Boucherel Peter something or other? Is it the father?
Yes. Yep.
Peter Gallagher, maybe?
That is his name, I believe. Yeah. But anyway, the idea is that the government implements this system where if you, I forget the word they use, enlist or register or whatever.
It's like a draft.
Yeah, it's not at first, but they talk about during the course of the movie that the government is going to implement a draft. But the idea is that if you volunteer to like kill yourself or basically be euthanized by the state, then they'll pay your family money and all this stuff. And that in and of itself, that premise is not terrible. The problem
sorry to cut you off. My favorite episode of Sliders has the same premise. they go to a planet where the girl with the group, I can't remember her name, wins the lottery. And they like give her all this money and they pamper her and she's like living the high life. She's like high and rich, but they don't realize at first that the lottery means that in 30 days they kill you.
Right.
Because of overpopulation.
Isn't that also the plot of The Lottery by Shirley Jackson?
Well, kind
of. Are you telling me that Sliders ripped something off?
Humaine has like an interesting enough premise. The problem is that the plot is about, and this is where the movie loses me completely, because the movie is about this family that's getting together. Like Alex just said, the father is that Gallagher guy. If you saw his face, he's been in like a million movies. But they're all like the family's very affluent. Like the father was like a mainstay on like he was like a Anderson Cooper type guy. Like he'd been on TV for like 20 years and like it was very well known and famous. The mother was this famous, chef. And then the rest of the kids are just these what's his name? Jay. I always forget his name. You just said his
first
name. Yeah. So he's like, he plays this like government, like liaison to the media. But anyway, my point is that they're all very, affluent and therefore I don't care about them like at all. So what happens is that the dad brings them together for the dinner and he's like, he chooses the dinner to tell them that him and his wife, the mother and the father are going to, they've taken the decision to, get euthanized by the government. And then what happens is the state euthanasia truck shows up. The mother gets cold feet and runs away. And basically the euthanasia people have a conversation with the father and explains to him, well, you know, if you get cold feet, then you basically get put on this like cowards list. And there's this whole who's the fudge. And then there's also this kind of thing where these guys aren't, the euthanasia people are basically subcontractors, which is kind of funny. So they're like basically in it to line their own pockets. They're like a proxy of the government. They're not with the government, but that part is like, there's so many little interesting ideas in this movie. The problem is that the main plot, I don't care. So what happens is the mom gets cold feet, the dad dies, but the head euthanasia guy's like, well, I need a body. Like I don't get paid unless like the contract says two bodies. So I need a body. So the rest of you kids need to figure out which one of you is going to die or I'll pick who's going to die. And then the rest of the movie is them bickering back and forth and attempting to kind of kill each other. And then they don't kill each other. And it's just, I want them all to die because they're all just rich, well, it's annoying kind of the reason assholes.
Why the first Purge doesn't work particularly well, because it's like, it's focused on Ethan Hawke's return, hunted by some other rich
it's
asshole.
It's actually very, that's a really good comparison, actually. Like excellent comparison. Cause it's like, that's the same problem I had
good
with
job,
that movie.
Sean.
Thanks, buddy.
And like, it's just really frustrating. Cause like, I like the world building in this movie. I just don't like the plot that they chose to, cause I don't know who I'm supposed to like root for. Cause I don't care. Like it's not like they even portray these people, these kids. I call them kids, but they're all, you know, adults. But they don't portray them like they're all shitheads. So I don't know, like, what am I watching this for? Like, I'm rooting for them all to die. And it's just, it's a very odd movie. And, like, the guy that is, like, the head euthanasia guy is, like, real jokey. And it just doesn't work. Like, I don't
know. It was, like, that is aware that you want all the rich people to get killed. Would it work better? Can you hear
me? Try that again. You're breaking up real bad.
I think if your guest were the movie where that you want all the characters to die, would it work better?
I mean, I guess. I don't know. It's just, again, I think it works better if, like, I kind of like the way, I mean, I'm glad you brought up The Purge, because it's a great comparison, because, like, I felt like The Purge movies didn't get better until they pulled the camera back, and they started dealing with more, like different characters, and they kind of focus more on the, like, the world itself. I'm not saying those Purge movies are great, but there's a couple of good ones in there. Maybe it's just one. The second one I thought was pretty good. The one with Frank Grillo,
I think there's two of them with Frank Grillo. I think they're both kind of good. I think the third one's the one you're thinking of, though.
But the first one is terrible because it's just like, I don't give a shit about these rich people. And also, like, their problems are silly. And, like, it's the same with this movie. They're literally just, these kids are literally bickering over money, like, the whole time. And then they're like, you know, I don't want to die because I'm a selfish prick. And it's just like, I just, I don't know. The movie needed, like, a different draft or something, because there's ideas in there. And it's, but, like, it's just not very good. And I was disappointed. I love you know, big premise movies, and this just wasn't it for me. So, the thing that was tabled was Goggs and I watched The Fall Guy this afternoon.
Shout out to David Cronenberg for naming his kids normal names.
Yeah.
Not giving them weird Hollywood Nepo baby names.
Yeah, well, he's from, Toronto, so that's probably why. He's Canadian.
No Apple Cronenberg.
Yeah. So we watched it was The Fall Guy, right?
It's The Fall Guy, which is actually the name of the show, the TV.
This movie is not good. I might jump off a cliff because it looks so fucking good.
I love it.
It's a ton of fun.
It's not like you know, a fucking Best Picture nominee, but it is a blast. It's like a really fun action comedy. And I thought that the jokes mostly landed, and all of the set pieces, like all the action, is directed really well, and like the stunts, like Goggs said it after we left, but the movie's like a love letter to stunts and like stuntmen, and I think they did a great job. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a blast.
Yeah, it was, so the guy, David Leitch, directed it. The same guy directed Deadpool 2 and Hobbs. Yeah, John Wick and Hobbs versus Shaw.
Well, he didn't direct John Wick, right?
He was like a co-director, but he directed the first one. The first one, he was like an uncredited co-director of the first one.
Is he the one that's Keanu Reeves' stunt double, or is it the other one?
I think it's the other one.
Yeah, but he also was a stunt performer.
Yeah, he was a stuntman and a stunt coordinator.
I don't know if they're just going to do this at AMC theaters, but like in a weird like pre-roll to the movie, there's like a little segment with Baby Goose and this guy, and they like talk about the movie, and they're like, thanks for coming to our movie. It was weird, but he even says, he's like, I used to be a stuntman or something. So
Baby Goose at the premiere dressed as Beavis and Butthead.
I thought that was awesome. Yeah, that was hilarious. He's really good in this movie. I mean, a big shock to no one, like Ryan Gosling is great. I mean, I kind of like him, like settling into this, like, I think he started with Barbie, this, like, he's really good at comedy. Like,
doing comedies from now on because of his family, like some bullshit.
Like the nice guy, he's basically being very similar to his character from The Nice Guys, which I think we all love that role for him.
He's really good in this movie, and he's funny, and like, the thing that I was most surprised by is like the movie isn't concerned with like being realistic. Like it's like really silly. Like it's almost like an absurdist comedy at times. Like it's very goofy. And I feel like, I don't know. When I saw the trailer, that was the one thing I was worried about. If it was like going to be a movie that was like worried about being like cool, and it's actually quite the opposite. It's a very silly and goofy. It does not take itself seriously whatsoever. I loved it. I'm Goggs, you can have the floor.
No, I mean, I thought TJ didn't watch this. My wife didn't watch it. Sean and Alec, did you watch The Fall Guy with Lee Majors back when you were kids?
I remember it. I don't know that I watched it like regularly.
Yeah.
It was like Dukes of Hazzard, A-Team.
Yeah.
Dukes of Hazzard, A-Team, the song all guy. The movie. Yeah, they play the song at the end of the movie. For me. So, like, that was, like, one of, like, the trio of shows I would watch with my parents all the time. I loved that show. So I thought the idea of them making a movie was wild, especially, like, 30-something years later. It's a ton of fun. Like, all the stunts are done. Like, it's, like, they're making it a point to tell you that they're all practical stunts. One of the stunts that, in, like, in this weird fourth wall breaking thing, like a stunt that they shoot in the movie, they're like, oh, we're going to get the record for most, they call it a cannon roll, like rolling a truck side by side, like over its side, right? You're going for 8.5. So they do it in the plot of the film, but they also did it on the set and set the world record for most rolls by a truck. So it's like, they're doing all this crazy shit. Like I watched after I got home from seeing it with TJ today, I watched like this little like 12-minute like sit down with Ryan Gosling, his stuntman and director, talking about all the stunts Ryan Gosling did, how they shot all this stuff practical. And then like during the credits, they show you how they shoot all the stunts. And it's just, it's like, if you like movies and like you like how movies are made, because like the whole opening sequence of this thing is before the plot kicks off, you're following I think I said Ryan Reynolds before, excuse me, Ryan Gosling through the set.
I've been saying that all day today. I kept calling him Ryan Reynolds.
One of them handsome Ryans. But they follow him as Colt Seavers through the set, like trying to get coffee. They're talking about the rig. They're talking about the shots. And it seems like it's like it was shot from a place where it's very genuine. They want you to they want to show what it feels like to be a stuntman on set. And like, here's all the precautions. Here's all the things we do. Here's how we do it. And it was really cool. And like, just, I don't know, all the movie jargon was great. It's a lot of fun. But yeah, like TJ, it's not like, there's no message here. It's not setting the world on fire.
It is the definition of a popcorn movie. But everybody's really good in it. The guy that played M'Baku in Black Panther, I can't think of that actor's name. He was wonderful. Emily Blunt and Baby Goose have really good chemistry. I thought like they both were really, as cheesy as, like, you know, I feel like a lot of times, especially in action movies, like, the romance feels, like, super forced. Like, it actually felt pretty natural in this movie. Like, and the movie is the through line through the movie is a love story between the romance, two of them. Yeah. And it works. Like, it actually, like, it feels organic. It doesn't feel super forced. And it's not, like, glommed on as much as you would probably think. Like, I don't know. For a movie that's like very, again, very silly and very like kind of A to B, it's written really well, I thought. Like it's not, you know what I mean? Like it's not like overwritten and it's not corny.
Like, all the romance parts that seem like they're glommed on, they immediately like counterpunch you by lampshading how silly those scenes are in movies. Like there's a scene where Ryan Reynolds is listening to like a song. Ryan Gosling. Like, listen to a song in a truck reminiscing about his past love life, and it's interrupted by, you know, his girl knocking on the window.
You find out it's literally like he's having like flashback moments, and then they cut to like him literally just sitting in his car crying, and like Emily Blunt's like, are you all right? Like, it was good. It was very good. I was pleasantly surprised by that movie.
Hannah Waddington from Ted Lasso's great in it. Aaron Taylor Johnson, who I don't typically care for, is really good at doing like a McConaughey. It's really good.
He's good in it. The daughter from Everything Everywhere All at Once is in it, and she's good. She's not in it for very long, but she's good in it. No, but yeah,
big
solid movie.
It's right now it's sitting my number two of 2024 new releases. So I haven't seen much, but it's just under Dune 2.
It climbed above Madam Web.
It climbed above Madam Web. And here's something that's wild that me and TJ were supposed to go see Boy Kills World this weekend. And it like basically got pulled from theaters. It seems like last Thursday. I don't think they gave it a week. So I don't know what happened there.
It's crazy. That thing had a week long theatrical run. It's like, goddamn. But yeah, that's all I watched. That's all Gogs watched. So Sean.
Oh, I'm taking watching movies to strange new places by not watching any movies. But I did watch the Fallout show, all of it.
Oh, what'd you think?
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I really
liked it. Enjoyed it. Like, I think somebody was talking about it on the last episode, how hard it is to nail that tone. And maybe they try and steer a little too goofy sometimes, but I think the idea of making
kind of the pivot of that, the Walton Goggins like relationship with his wife, I thought was kind of smart because it gets to pull you out of it for a little bit and reset. Also nice to have a show. I know it's gonna sound weird, but TJ, maybe you'll sign off. To like have a lead black woman who's also kind of evil. I mean, like it's weirdly progressive.
Well, yeah, and I mean, it's a twist in the show because like you kind of expect her to be, and I guess maybe it's because of your expectation of how those characters are usually portrayed, but like you expect that she just works at Vault-Tec. She doesn't know what's going on, and then you find out, oh no, she knows. Yeah, she knows just hit, a lot.
Him also having to listen.
That fucking what's his name from New Vegas shows up in that scene at the end, Mr. Hands.
I was
like, oh fuck. Oh fuck!
I was completely thrown off on watching with old lady, and she's like, "Oh, that's the guy from Sex and the City talking about Kyle MacLachlan," and I'm like, "Ew!" Oh. Like I almost left. Like don't.
You were call like, him you that. Were like, you were like, if you said Dale Cooper, I'd be fine with that. Or
yeah,
the Kwisatz Haderach, but
or hey, that's the guy from Blue Velvet, or anything.
Kyle MacLachlan's still great.
Walton Goggins is the fucking best. I mean, he's just awesome. They did a good job. And I think the fact that they get away from the vault so much, it like helps because it's a really drab setting. You know what I mean? Like it looks like it should, but, there's a bunch of little Easter eggs, like the psyker from New Vegas, Ma, or not from New Vegas, from Four. Was it Ma Murphy or whatever?
Yeah.
She's in it. Like it's like silly, gross, but it is like intensely serious at some points. I thought they did a really good job. I thought, The Brotherhood of Steel Cat was good.
My favorite part
was Michael Rapaport bleeding to death by himself. Like, yeah, I wish that happened for reals. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, he sucks.
But no, it was really good. And 8 episodes is perfect. All TV series should be 8 episodes, and that is it. 8 hours is enough to tell a story. Like, it doesn't need to be 12.
And it ends perfectly. Like, it ends with just enough where you want... It told the whole story, but like now I want more. Like, give me more. Yeah. I can't wait for season 2.
Yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. But yeah.
Yeah, Alec and Alex, you guys need to watch it.
I watched most of it. I didn't finish it yet.
What do you think?
Yeah.
So far, I really like it. I'm like, I don't know. I got like 2 or 3 episodes left.
That's cool.
And then I watched this Freddy movie. Like, before we start, like, this came out in 2010, and if you go back and look at movies that came out in 2010, that was a grim year for movies. Like, it's like, Hellevator was one of them, and, like, it was just a bad. I think the best movie that came out that year was Inception, and that's about it.
Oh, Gogs and I, speaking of a bad time for movies, so we saw the trailer for the new M. Night Shyamalan movie that is written by his wife or daughter.
Daughter, I believe.
Yeah, so I can't wait for that. It looked fucking terrible. It was like, okay, cool. And they called it an M. Night Shyamalan experience.
Ooh, yeah, that's one way to put it.
I think I blacked out of what the plot was. It was something about people disappearing or aliens in the... Was it holes? Oh, no, it was people having to, like, stand in a box... to jack off at something?
I think the fucking beginning of the movie like showed that the girl, the lead character, I assume, is like a serial killer.
And no, I thought she was just a prostitute.
Oh, that's not what I took. Like, cause like, she's like, it's something I do. And then they show like missing posters. Who knows? I don't know.
I think posters were all the people that went to the woods to be part of the jack off box.
You would have thought after people saw Old, they would have been like, you know what, go ahead and pack him up. He's done.
There's people that like that fucking movie, dude. Like who? I see.
I didn't even mean Old, but
Knock at the Cabin.
Terrible. Knock at the Cabin.
I mean, Knock at the Cabin was better than Old.
But I mean, still, getting your dick ripped off, I guess, is better than like getting your dick punched off. Like, I mean,
Old was so fucking bad. And what was it? Mid-sized sedan. That's a rap name. Like, I still can't get over that one. All right. I know Alex usually the Wikipedia guy, but the director of this movie. I've never seen this before. His Wikipedia, he's only made one movie, which was this. And then it's like, it's like proposed projects that he wasn't involved with, but like his name was floated around to direct like Monsters Ball and like I've never seen a director like that. Like he's got one movie, but like he could have directed a bunch of these other movies, but he didn't. It's like what the
wait? Do you ever watch a Parks and Rec?
Oh yeah.
You seen the episode where they're at the William Henry Harrison Museum?
Oh yeah,
And there's a whole like the majority of the exhibit is the hall of what if he hadn't died?
Oh shit!
And it's like Great Depression ends in 2 days, like stuff like that.
I was watching Parks and Rec the other day, and it kind of bummed me out because I thought Goggs invented saying pepperoni like that, but I guess it was from that show.
Oh no, yeah, that's 100% John Ralphio.
No, I was kind of hurt. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm sorry. No, I hope I didn't misrepresent myself. No, I just come up with
pepperoni. No, you do say things weird, so I just always assume. This is more interesting than the movie, by the way.
So like, did you see the guy? The guy that directed this movie is named Sam David Bayer. And yeah, he's only directed one movie, and that was in 2010.
What movie was that?
The wording that they use on Wikipedia is unrealized projects. Bayer had been attached to direct various different films over the years, such as Monsters Ball, the Sylvester Stallone Get Carter, a canceled remake of Bring Me the Head of Alfredo Garcia. There you go, Sean. That's a good movie.
Man. Oh, hell yeah.
A canceled...
That's the movie Sean wanted to watch, and we ended up watching The Last Samurai.
Yeah, but that movie rules.
Yeah, it's really good. Listen to these remakes. A canceled remake of Vanishing Point. A canceled remake of Near Dark by
They've Platinum already remade Dunes. Vanishing Point. Viggo Mortensen turns in it.
Blackwater Transit. Wasn't that the... What was that? That was...
Darkwater Transit, the band?
Oh, he was one of the boys directors when they were going to make that into a movie. And that's it. That's like all this guy is. It's like he could have directed all these movies, but he didn't. Like, I've never seen that on a Wikipedia.
He has a insanely deep music video bench, though.
Yeah, he made the Smells Like Teen Spirit video. That's pretty
good. That's a fucking banger of a video.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's directed a lot of music videos. A
lot of.
He directed No Rain, the Bumblebee Girl.
Hell yeah.
A lot of big videos.
Gogs, tell us the plot of the original Nightmare on Elm Street so we can just get this over with.
The sad thing is, it's not even the plot. It's like the greatest hits.
This movie
has like a fucking base by... another one of these movies that is befuddling like five writers, and they have it has a story by credit that's not Wes Craven, and it's like, huh? Like, what, excuse me? Like, it's very odd.
All right. So anywho, movie opens, diner, tweaker, coffee, emo kid, other kids, blonde chick, dreamy time, cuts own throat, movie starts. Kids continue to die.
Hey, can I bring up a weird point of order?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I don't want to derail this because this movie sucks. Like, this movie sucks more dick than a Bryan Singer pool party.
Hey, but,
In the lore of, and I haven't seen, it occurs to me, I haven't seen the first Nightmare on Elm Street nearly as much as I've seen 3, 4, and 5, so forgive me. But like, in the lore of that, when he cuts you in the dream, like, he cuts you for real, you just don't see it. But this, he cuts his own throat with a knife,
they do it both ways in this movie. It doesn't follow
the rules.
But in the
lore of the originals, like, there is no like transubstantiation. It's just got invisible slashed, right?
Right. Yes. Or you wake up in a waterbed.
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
There's that sort of shit. This one, so the first kid kills himself allegedly. And then, like, I don't know, everyone's girlfriend gets sad or some shit. Rumi Namara is like hanging out with the kid from Jennifer's body.
Rumi Namara.
And everyone, Rooney Mara.
Yes.
I do not give a shit. So now, all these kids are falling asleep in history class and they start dying in unironic ways, and the best ways to die in Elm Street movies, ironically. So like, it's just Jackie Earle Haley just doing a voice where his...
She's called Jackie Earle Haley like it's a Mad Magazine parody.
No, but I... Now I will.
Okay. But also, like, they don't even have fun with these kills. These kills are so boring.
Boring and benign.
The whole movie's boring.
Yeah.
It's like the blandest thing about something nightmarish.
And then they have the nerve to, like, remake some of the iconic stuff from the original, like... The scene where Freddy like comes through the wall, but it's like it looks really like bad CG and it looks like garbage. And it's like, bro, they fucking made this shit like in the 80s and it looked fantastic. And now it looks awful. Like, I don't understand. Like,
we've all seen, well, I think maybe all of us except Alec, maybe Alec too. We've all seen Never Sleep Again, right? The fucking 9-hour documentary about. And like the rig, that
our
they
movie
had to
was
build.
So gay and nobody knew it but us. Yeah.
That's the best
but they
one.
They had to build that rig to make that room rotate so that
Was
it Johnny Depp or whoever was flopping around the bitch, right?
And a young Christopher Nolan was like, "I'm gonna remember this for later."
And they just did it like sloppy, lazy, like CGI. Like, this movie is very 2010. Like, this might have been the end of the new metal age. Is this the beginning of the new metal era? It's just.
It does feel like just, one of those dimension, like, Dracula 2000 type movies.
Like, just super cheap and just, like, blah. But anywho, Freddy kills everybody or starts killing people. And then Tawny Katane or whatever her name is like, I don't know why you can't remember preschool. And, like, what's his name? The head guard from Shawshank's, like, keep eating your pills.
Clancy Brown, yeah. Yeah, they don't take a repress at all.
Then they repress it all. Yeah, they're taking that shit from Equilibrium. So now they go. They didn't learn Junkata. They get
better movie.
They break into the world's most spacious attic and find all the evidence that no one thought to burn. And they're like, "Oh, Freddy Krueger. We went to the same preschool, and then the gardener got framed by us because we were lying kids, and you guys roasted him to death in an old factory house building. And then maybe we need to just put his bones to rest. And oh, also, wait, never mind. He was a diddler. And here's some dirty Polaroids."
This is one of the weirdest parts of this movie, because the things that they try to add to this movie to make it different is there's like a red herring that like Freddy might have actually been innocent, which it makes
somewhat interesting, though, if they did it that way.
If they stuck to it, but then again, if he was innocent, then like the way he carries himself murdering them doesn't make a lot of sense either. Like it's a very odd choice. Like it's a weird choice to be like, haha, he might have been innocent the whole time, and it's like, you know, he's not. It's Freddy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's no. You know,
was this after sympathetic Michael Myers from
I think it's before,
after, right?
Is it? I don't know.
No, those Halloween movies, I think, came out like 2005.
This movie just brought me back to like the worst. Like, this is like, to me, worse than like the new metal era of horror movies, where
it's even worse
all
than
the Platinum Dunes remakes. Like, they were all so bad.
Well, I was like, there's no way this is worse than the Friday the 13th remake, because I remember seeing this movie and I was like, well, Jack Earl Haley's good, which he's not, but it's not really his fault because the movie's so bad and there's nothing for him to do.
The voice but, like, he's doing is awful. Like, what the
fuck? He's doing like pedo Rorschach.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
He kind of sucks in general. He's got like one good movie.
Who, Jack Earl Haley?
Yeah.
I mean, he's good in the Bad News Bears. He's good in Shutter Island.
He was good in that terrible Preacher show, even though that show was terrible. He was good in
Little Children, but he isn't in a lot of good movies. But, like, you know, he had to be like, okay, this is, people are going to love this. It's Freddy. I'm going to get 7 movies out of this. I don't think any of those Platinum Dunes got a sequel, except maybe the Texas Chainsaw.
No, the Texas Chainsaw got another remake. The Texas Chainsaw had a sequel. It had a sequel. It was a prequel to the first one, technically, because they did make 2.
Prequel to a remake is
they were
nasty
very
work.
Sick. Like, well, it sucks because those were like, even though they're both bad, they're both like really successful, and that's why they kept making all these other New Line remakes, all these Platinum Dune remakes.
The Friday the 13th is the first movie I saw in the theater with TJ and Goggs.
Is that right?
It is.
That movie sucks shit. I'm sorry about that.
You liked it when we walked out. I do remember that.
Did I?
I was like, I don't know if I can be friends with this guy.
Well, I'm wrong about a lot of stuff, it turns out. Maybe I do like it. I got to revisit.
It happens.
But yeah, this movie's just joyless and sad. They kill Freddy, okay? But they don't. He comes back. It's over, right? Who gives a fuck? Jackie O'Haley, yeah, his voice is just, why did you say never heard? But like, he's not doing any of the fun Freddy voice. Like, he's not even like being like.
He's not telling jokes. He's not doing anything.
Freddy. He's just like.
They missed the whole point of Freddy.
Yeah. You guys know the first movie probably better than me, and I'm assuming, I don't know, Alec. But he's not like super silly in the first movie, right? Like that doesn't come till later on.
But even in the first movie, he's interesting.
Yeah.
Well, even in the first movie, there's the famous scene where Nancy's got the phone to her ear and the tongue comes out. Like,
yeah.
There is like kind of that more like playful element in the first one. But he's much more like menacing. And Sean, you said it to me, analog. But you're like one of the big problems with this movie is that Freddy's in it too much. And I totally agree with you on that, because in the original, like he's like menacing because like he's in the periphery. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, it's
he's
like a barely Jaws thing almost.
Yeah. And when he shows up, it's like, holy shit. But even when he shows up, you know, he's mostly like cast in shadow, and you know what I mean? Like he's not.
Yeah. Or it's the long arms, or yeah. And that makeup isn't reflective of how a burned person would look, but it looks also cool. Like it's very cinematic.
Oh, you when mean they try in the and original.
Go yeah, in the yeah. original. In the new one, it's like, oh, this is what a burned person looks like, and it's so fucking bland.
It just doesn't have any character to it. It just looks like, oh, again, like I feel like there was this push for a lot of these, like, well, we got to make it more like realistic, and it's like, who wants that? Like,
we need our nightmare demon to be more grounded.
Yeah. Nope. But anyway, what else, Gogs?
I guess, was it supposed to be implied that the glove was like a gardening implement?
That was the way in the original, yeah.
Was it really? Oh, okay. Well, then what have you? Never mind.
Well, and one of them, he's literally like Edward Scissorhandsing it, like he's like on the shrubs, like
I brought this up to TJ analog, and I'll probably regret saying this out loud, but like I thought it was a weird choice to make him like a pedophile but then also be horny for them when they're older.
Like, I mean, yeah. he's loyal.
Oh, is that what it is? It was real love. It wasn't just a sickness.
Also, like I don't the choice to make him like an explicit pedophile is fucking stupid. Yeah. Like it doesn't add anything. Like that. And I guess the director or the writer was like, well, Wes Craven wanted that in the original. It's like, yeah, well he hinted at it and that's fine. Yeah. Like it's one of those things
like where child
it's
like, murderer is enough.
It's pretty low. Right?
Exactly.
It's pretty low.
Like, yeah.
Also, the bizarre choice to, like, not put him in the sweater until they're coming to Frankenstein him, and then he runs in and puts on the sweater to be killed in is kind of odd.
I mean, he takes layers off. He's got two layers over top a sweater.
Oh, is that what it was? I thought he was shirtless for some reason.
No, he strips out of, like, his, like, it looked like he was, like, a fireproof, like, mechanics jacket, which would have been helpful in that scenario because, you know.
Also, like, even, like, fireproof. The factory thing, like, I thought. What? And again, correct me if I'm wrong, and I don't want to belabor this. But I thought you were meant to understand that to be like their dream projection of what the boiler room at the school looked like. Yeah. But I guess in this one, it's an actual physical location, someplace in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
also weird and goofy, and also the name of the preschool is called Bad Ham. I was like, what the fuck?
But I understand, that's a bad ham, like, Harry.
Bad ham. I'm going to eat me some bad ham. Like, the building he got, like, charbroiled in had, like, no other significance other than he ran to it, right?
Like, well, that's not where he molested the children. I think what it's supposed to be is, because, like, in the original one, the boiler room is, like, comically huge for what would be at a school, right? But that's because they're in a dream.
The boiler room is comically huge for, like, what would be in the Pentagon.
Right, it's their dreamscape. Like, it's meant to be, like, you know, exaggerated. But in this, they're like, oh, well, that's stupid. We got to explain why the boiler room's so big for some reason. So we'll just have this, like a Terminator 2 factory in the middle of nowhere, Illinois.
Yeah, like, the choices to ground the premise is, like, insane.
I want to be on the zoning board of Springview or whatever it is, where it's like, okay, we've got a preschool and an abandoned factory within running distance.
Yeah, within less than a mile, we're just going to have, you know, children under six and a place where we're just going to make barium or something. Make hexachlorides.
How do you make barium, guys?
You dig it
very
up
carefully.
This movie sucks. Like, I don't know.
Does anybody have anything to say about this fucking movie?
It's not even fun to jab at. Like, it's just
They got me by killing off the blonde girl early. I thought she was going to be the main character. I was surprised.
Did you not see the Heather Langenkamp as Nancy is like the. I guess that's the trope. So if you're not familiar with the original, then as soon as you heard the name Nancy, you're like, well, there's the final girl.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, and it's funny because last week I talked about that movie, The Passenger, that I really liked, and I was talking about that actor that had a real, like, his performance kind of made the movie for me. Well, that guy is the co-lead of this movie. That's the same guy, and it's crazy that I can see he was so good in that movie, and so, I mean,
we've had him in three movies now.
Yeah, he was in Jennifer's Body and Red State, which I forgot both of those movies. But like, it just goes to show you, like, I mean, then like, Rooney Mara has been good and stuff. It just goes to show you that like, good actors, like, they, you know, they're as only as good as the material that they're given. And also, like, I mean, the direction in this movie is terrible. Like, everything is just shot the same flat, bland way. There's nothing like, there's no like signature moment in this movie or scene that you'd remember in this fucking movie.
Right? You just remember it in comparison to the other scenes that it's recreating.
Yeah, I mean, and it's like, it's one thing in a remake to like try to kind of, I don't know, go back and like pay homage to like the original, but like, to just like poorly remake like iconic scenes like the bathtub scene or the fucking wall scene or the scene where like that she's floating out of the bed and dying. That's kind of similar to like how Johnny Depp gets killed. And it's just like, none of that shit works and it just looks bad. And it's like, I don't know the choice where it's like, we're going to remake this, but it looks worse. Like, why would you do that? Like, why not just do something?
Because
different?
It's cheaper.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it is.
Well, if they had made the thing a musical, since he was very good at music videos, this whole thing would have landed a little better.
At least it'd have been a fresh idea. Like, good Lord.
The musical.
I mean, it worked with Chud, too.
I'd be slashing.
I'd
be dreaming.
Anything else, guys? I apologize for picking this fucking movie.
It's just nothing to say. Like,
it sucks all the air out of the space.
Yeah.
Oh, we ask Alec what his favorite part was.
Alec, was your favorite part about this movie the nightmares?
Or was it the street?
No. My favorite part was that they didn't kill the dog.
Yeah, I thought I really thought
that was gonna happen. And I was gonna be able to turn it off early, but I'm glad they didn't kill the dog.
They almost kill a dog in Fall Guy, and Goggs almost fell out of his chair.
I was worried they were going to John Wick that dog. I was genuinely concerned.
All right, five knuckle shuffle time for this piece of crap. Alec.
1.35 for being an hour and 35 minutes long.
Wow. Interesting take.
Other than that, yeah. No, so, like, there's nothing to it, and like, I've never seen, I don't think I've seen any of the Nightmare on Elm Streets. I get Freddy, like, I understand him through pop culture, and I've seen Freddy vs. Jason several times. That movie fucking absolutely slaps.
Hell yeah.
So I know what Freddy's supposed to be, but this ain't it. And like, I do remember when this came out, thinking like, oh, Jackie Earle Haley is Freddy. That seems like it should be perfect. I was thinking like, oh, it'll be like a darker, grittier Freddy. And it is, and it sucks.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's like what I think Sean said before about the Watchmen movie. It's like, it's like a shot for shot pulled from the comics. And it's awful because it's so shot for shot. Like, yeah. They gave you what I expected and I hated it.
Yes.
All right. Sean.
It's a zero. This movie has no reason to exist. It's the worst kind of like cheap cash grab. The five writers, you know, I think that we're going to make it realistic, but then also fuck it. We're going to do everything we did in the original movies because people actually like that, where it kind of clashes together. Like he's going to slash his own throat. And then sometimes they're not hurting themselves. And there's some weird micro dosing fucking element that gets brought up in the who could give a fuck.
Oh yeah. What the fuck was that? Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know any of the characters' names except for Nancy, just because it was Nancy in the original movie. Like It's just, I don't know. Again, like there's nothing to differentiate this from like every other Platinum Dune shit remake. Like it's like this might as well be The Crazies, you know, or any of those fucking movies. It's just
The Crazies is a 10 compared to this.
Yeah, fair enough.
There were so many of them too. Like it just, I remember, like, again, this was the remake, like, just like craze where it's just like,
it's just like this miasma of bullshit. And like, you know, Freddy doesn't need to be on there every 10 seconds and like, oh, he's a diddler. No, he's not. Yes, he is. Like, who cares? Like, I just want it to be over with. And then they, like, the mother dying, callback at the end. Like,
oh, yeah.
It just looks really shitty.
Going through, like, the mirror and it's like,
yeah,
it's
awful. Yeah. Like your digital eyes and everything, which is
fucking, yeah, it looks like a fucking Borderlands. Like I just hate
also
it.
Like I mean, I know that the killing Freddy conceit in every Nightmare movie is bad, but the one in this one is like, it's like, now you're in my world, and it's like, okay, I guess.
Yeah.
So it should be like he should die like instantly because he's like a horrifically burned man.
He still had superpowers, but in our world, which
maybe he's like a Joshua Graham. Maybe the fire inside of him burned brighter than the fire on the outside.
Nice Fallout reference.
Thank you. Yeah, but this movie sucks dick. Cox.
So it is funny that we didn't get another one because it made $112 on a $35 million budget. So
that's why they made it.
It's And it came out in 2010. Are we due? It's been 14 years. Are we due for someone to say, hey, shouldn't we remake a Nightmare on Elm Street?
They keep talking about how Robert Englund wants to make one more. And so we'll probably get one more with him in it. And I mean, he can still do it. I mean, it's not like, you know, he's old.
Let the people that made Psycho Goreman make it or something. Just make it fun. Yeah. You know what I mean? Let him go out.
Get loose with it. But this movie sucked. It's no fun. It's joyless. It is unbelievably boring for what it should be. And in the first 10 minutes, it's just the most wooden, terrible performances and direction you can imagine. Like it is like AI.
What was the point of the cold open?
Better. I don't know what the point of the whole movie was. The whole thing,
you know,
sucks shit end to end.
I hate to interrupt you, but we watched Wes Craven's A New Nightmare, which is a movie I think we're all on record as hating to varying degrees. And like, I do hate that movie, but at least they were trying something.
It's something.
At least they're like, it's something, you know, like, but this, there's just nothing there.
The whole point of the cold open was to feature 2010 sweetheart Kellan Lutz.
Oh, that was him.
Who the fuck is? I don't remember him from anything else. What else did he do?
He's from the Twilight.
He was a quarterback from Boise State.
He's not the one who beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl.
Shout out to Kellens.
The like highlights from that game pop up on my TikTok like once a month, and every time I watch the whole last like 5 minutes of that game, it's fucking absolutely batshit bonkers crazy.
What
was your score?
Well, my score, in case you couldn't have guessed, was a zero. This movie is just trash. It's worse than I remember. I was really kind of hoping that it wouldn't be as bad as I recalled, but it turns out my brain hid some stuff from me because it is trash. That's
also what I was hoping that it was, you know, it's funny. We talk about this all the time, but like, look up any any movie that you remember as being bad and someone's wrote a thing where it's not as bad as you remember it. That this movie has gotten that treatment, and it's like, no, it's worse than I remember it actually. Worse.
TJ, your scores.
It's one of those weird things where it's like, technically by our metric, it should be a 5 because I just don't care. I'm going to forget, but it's mm-hmm. terrible. So it's like a 1 because I was like, I guess it did elicit an emotional response from me because I was so bored and so immediately just like checked out of this fucking movie. And I'm not surprised this guy directed music videos and never directed another movie. Cause he has no vision. Like there's nothing here. It's just literally like a checklist movie. Like they just were like, all right, let's get, like, it just seems like a movie. There's like, all right, let's get this done. Apparently I was reading up on, like a horror, subreddit. And I guess like at the time, Rooney Mara, it was like basically quoted as saying like she didn't want anything to do with this movie and like she had a phoned in performance. It's like, yeah, I don't blame her. I don't blame her at all. This movie sucks shit. She probably read the script and was like, this is terrible. And like, yeah, I get it. I get why you wouldn't want to put any effort into it. Also, like, not for nothing, if you're going to remake Nightmare, like, why don't you remake one of the fun ones? Like, remake Dream Warriors. I know it wasn't first, but, like, who cares? Like, you can watch any of the Nightmare movies. Like, chronologically.
You can jump right into the idea that these kids are being terrorized by this nightmare demon and they power up. Like, that's fun.
Yeah, just make some, again, but that would require you to, like, put, like, an ounce of effort into anything in this movie. Like, it is so just, boilerplate.
Yeah, you just get like three bland teenage girls and give them like vague spider powers, and then you'll have a movie. That's how movies
honestly
work.
A better movie is than this. No, I don't know. I'll take that back. I don't know.
No, that's better than this. No.
Anyway, so yeah, this movie fucking sucks shit, dude. It's awful. It's like it's a 1 for me. That's 0 for me, dog.
That's generous. I say 1's very generous.
It's a 0 for me, dog. All right, so. Is Gogs, is it your pick next week? Are we watching Roadhouse?
I'm sticking to Roadhouse.
Yeah, I don't have one yet, so.
Roadhouse. Right. Roadhouse.
I'm not going to be around next week, so I'll try to set something in.
Well, you did already watch it, so.
Yeah, I'll be in Grand Cayman.
Oh, hell yeah.
So I'll try to get something recorded.
I believe it's pronounced Canyon.
You'll be in the Grand Canyon.
Oh, donkey.
Wrong plane.
All right, everybody. All right. That's the show. Next week, Roadhouse. Get ready for a road and a house. We went from Elm Street to Roadhouse. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You get it.
Avenue. I mean, yep, there's a whole building connection there. I hate this. This sucks. This movie's so bad. We can't even end the episode properly.
Bye.
Eat shit and die, everybody.
Bye.